Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
You could have been born in the richest family with every kind of benefit on Gucci sheets or thrown away, and you were a failed attempt at an abortion. God shows you before the foundation of the world, not only to love you back to Him, but to adopt you, and you be able to say that you're somebody's son, that you're chosen, that you're blessed.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is a continuing conversation with Ed McGlasson. We're talking about finding the father you've always wanted. Oh my goodness, Ed McGlasson, if you didn't hear him recently, he is an amazing communicator. He's a former NFL lineman who currently pastors the Stadium Vineyard in Anaheim, California. He's a sought-after speaker, creator of the Blessing of the Father Conference. He's written a couple of books. He's married to his wife, Jill, for nearly 30 years. They make their home in Orange, California with five children and one of my favorites on this broadcast. Great to have you back.
Great to be here.
You know, you talk so often about the family blessing, and I speak about blessing. I wrote a book called Confident Parenting, and one of the lessons of that was blessing your children. And I get people ask me, they say, okay, we don't even know what you're talking about when it comes to a blessing. And I would guess when you're talking about fathers blessing their children, that some of our listeners may not truly understand what that means and what that entails.
Well, part of a blessing, first of all, it can't be about you. You know, some guys just want to feel good by they saying, well, I just tell my kid that I love them. But what they want to know is that, what do you love about me? And part of blessing, there's a, you know, it's a principle all through Scripture that whatever father spoke over their children, it becomes this like invisible barrier, or the roof is off. And it's like they somehow God operates underneath the way those words are spoken over their life. In the book of James, it talks about the power of the tongue. You know, it can create a forest fire. You know, it's like a rudder in a ship. And God's put inside of moms and dads this incredible ability to speak life. And I kind of talk about blessing, like, imagine we were playing a basketball game right now, or a football game. In basketball, when you make a shoot a shot through a hoop in a net, you get 2 points unless it's a three-point shot. So basketball players want to score. Imagine a life that no one ever hears any feedback about who they are. And so they have to get the feedback of who they are from somebody on the street, maybe a gang member on the street, or they're not sure who they are. So they think, well, maybe my identity's in my sexuality, or my identity is in the clothes I wear. And see, God's put inside of us as parents this incredible privilege of speaking life into somebody. And I first began to understand this in looking at the story of Jacob when he got his name changed in the Bible. And God changed his name to Israel. This incredible moment where God the Father took a boy who stole his dad's blessing that God backed up. And God goes up, and in the midst of his story, he changes his name. You see that in the way God dealt with this guy named Abe and renamed him Abraham, right? And Sarah to Sarai to Sarah. And with that change of name, God brought change of power and privilege and this favor on their life. And so Jacob, now second son, who's now named Israel, is being born, and his wife is dying in childbirth. And without a father there, she names him Benoni in Hebrew, which means son of my sorrow. And I remember when I read that, it just hit me like a ton of bricks, that we as parents, and especially single moms without a dad who knows how to bless them, they'll many times live a life of sorrow. That's what I saw in the NFL. I mean, there's a reason why guys say hi, mom, on the sideline. Because they're overachieving for a dad who might be looking somewhere, but who was never there in their story. But Jacob, whose name now has become Israel, was empowered by God by his blessing. he goes and renames that boy Benjamin. And Benjamin in Hebrew means son of my right hand. And a tribe of Benjamins were born from a father's blessing by renaming that child something that he could live up to.
You know, Ed, sometimes it comes in the form of verbal, but I was thinking back to my dad, who was not perfect dad by any means, but I don't think he ever missed a Little League game, a La Palma Little League game in Anaheim, where I grew up. I don't think he ever missed a Pony League game, middle school, high school game. You know, he was busy, worked 7 days a week, but he showed up at the games.
Frank's present.
And I now look back at some of my friends thinking, their dads never showed up.
That's right.
And so my dad blessed me with his presence.
That's awesome.
Sometimes not just with words.
That's right. And I remember one of my son, when he was getting ready to play golf in college, there was a young man on his team. And I was at 5 in the morning with Everett hitting balls and with the golf team. And one day he walks up to me and goes, "Will you be my dad? I need somebody in the stands that I know is there because I am their son." And that ultimately is the blessing of the Father, where you get to be, no matter how you were born. You could have been born in the richest family with every kind of benefit on Gucci sheets, or thrown away and you were a failed attempt at an abortion. God chose you before the foundation of the world to not only to love you back to him, but to adopt you and to be able to, you be able to say that you're somebody's son. That you're chosen, that you're blessed.
Yeah. You know, I had an experience once where I was a youth pastor in a church locally here years and years ago, and one of the girls who I just absolutely adored, and she was a great leader, and yet her dad was an absent father. And she called me up. I hadn't seen her for a couple of years, and she called me up and she said, "Hey, I'm going to get married, and I'd like you to walk me down the aisle." I said, "Well, what about your dad?" He said, "Well, I don't think dad's going to be here. He's busy, and he's, you know," she was not really putting him down, just simply by her words, you could tell that dad was, you know, going to one more time disappoint her. And so I said it would be an absolute honor, but if your dad comes, then, you know, let's
That's
have
right.
me step back and let's have your dad take over. And even on that day, we didn't know. I had to rent a tux. Didn't know if I was going to, you know, use it. You know, it was this kind of thing. And so I walked her down the aisle, and the pastor said, "Who gives this woman to be married to this man?" And I wasn't sure what to say. Because I wasn't her dad. You know, they say oftentimes her father, you know, right. Her mother and I or whatever. And I said, her family and the family of God.
Mm.
And at that moment, she leans over to me and she says, you're like my earthly dad, and kissed me. And then, you know, they went on. Well, you know, of course I'm bawling my eyes out. I sit next to my wife. She goes, "What's wrong with you?" But you know, it was the kind of thing that it dawned on me that there are so many people who have this deficit. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Is how do you, when you come from a deficit, it's not that young woman's fault that her father wasn't around.
No.
And believe me, I know enough of his history that, you know, he didn't have a father that ever blessed him. Well, what's the answer to somebody who doesn't have the earthly father and may never see that blessing from their earthly father?
Well, you know, Paul writes something in Ephesians that was just kind of a compass for me when he said a couple of things that were just really powerful. He said, number one, that he chose you before he formed the heaven and earth to love you. I mean, just imagine God choosing to love you. That's one thing, to choosing somebody that you know about. It's another thing to choose somebody when you know them perfectly. And not only that, he said he chose us to adopt us as sons or daughters. And I remember reading that and learning all this, that it just hit me. You mean no matter who was my earthly dad, God the Father still wants to adopt me as his son? So you can come from the worst background and have no dad. But see, what kids today, where they're stuck, is that they're waiting for their dad to get it together. I was at Vanguard, actually 2 years ago, I did a chapel there. And had 600 kids, and I said, "How many of you had more wounds and blessings from your dad?" And almost the entire room raised your hand. I said, "What will you give today to let your dad off the hook and have the father you've always wanted?" And they responded. I mean, it was a massive day of ministry. And see, part of what the Lord did in my own story was he brought that healing to me in my own story. So I didn't have to look to my stepdad to get it together for me to have a life, of Christ, or I'm on hold until he somehow gets his life together. He came to not only save us in that river, Jesus came to be our Savior. He also came to open up a way so that we could have the Father we've always wanted.
Boy, that is so good. And it's really how God does heal our father wounds. But it doesn't just stop there. It's legacy. We have a phrase at Homeward that says, one of the purposes of the church is to mentor parents. Parents mentor their children, and the legacy of faith continues to the next generation.
Right.
What we need is this generation to understand that they are the beloved
That's
of
right.
God, that they do have a father who loves them unconditionally, not for what they do, performance-minded,
right.
but for who they are. And when they do that, then they then have the tools to be able to pass that on to the next generation. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Ed Tandy McGlasson with us. So many of us have father wounds. In fact, all of us, one way or another. You could have, nobody has the perfect father, except we now have the perfect Heavenly Father. But in this, we can be healed, and we can make a difference in the way we do our own fathering. And actually, as a mom, this is not bad conversation for you either, is it?
No, it's certainly good dialogue to be having, and everyone could benefit from the fact that we all have fathers. Many of us have father wounds and need to have them healed. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, so great to have Ed Tandy McGlasson with us in studio once again, talking about finding the father you've always wanted. Ed's new book is called The Father You've Always Wanted. You can find it wherever Christian books are sold. We have a link up to it on our website today. Go to the radio broadcast section of our online resource center at homeward.com for more information. And now at the conclusion of today's program, here's Jim.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, Ed McGlasson with this amazing conversation. I was just talking with Ed at the break that sometimes I even forget that this is on time, and we have to stop and take commercial breaks and all these kinds of things, because it's just phenomenal conversation. We're talking about finding the father you've always wanted. He's written a wonderful book, and by the way, all books are good from Ed Tandy McGlasson. The Father You've Always Wanted is a new book, How God Heals Your Father Wounds. I actually believe, as I know Ed believes, and he's given his life to this, that this is one of the key issues that we've got to deal with to help families be healed and help our own souls move toward healing and wholeness as well. Ed, so good to have you with us. You're the pastor of a church called the Stadium Vineyard in Anaheim, California, nearby, right by where we're at. You're a sought-after speaker and creator of the Blessing of the Father Conference, written several books, and also a former NFL lineman. So, you know, I'm going to have to be nice to you. I don't want you to, like, you know, pounce on me. But, you know, this is so key. And anytime I have you on the broadcast, I just get more and more enthused and excited about what you have to say. But, you know, I take this out of your book. I just lifted it from your book. Present fathers are like a lighthouse to a lost ship on a stormy night. Even the best captain can get lost without a lighthouse on the horizon showing them the way home. What did you mean by that?
You know, one of the greatest privileges that a dad can have is when your kids let you be part of their story. And if you have their heart, whether they're married or not, there's not this, well, you're married now, see you later, or you're 18 now, you're an adult. It's it being in a place where you're present in their story, to where they let you in. They don't use the grandchildren to punish you because you were hard on them, but they let you. You're like a lighthouse. And what it does is that it's like the role of the father doesn't end when marriage happens or when birth happens. It's something, and it's what where I got this from was Jesus with his dad. You know, he 30-something years old saying this line, I can only do what I see my father doing. I can only speak what I hear my father saying. He had this incredible connection for the sake of his dad and his loving, passionate, you know, life-giving love back and forth. And he even said this, I pray, in John 17, says, I pray that the same love in which you love me might be in them. I want them to know what it's like to be loved by the Father. And for us as dads, if you're present and you're loving and you're speaking life, your kids let you in their story. And one of the things I know about my kids is when, here's my little signal, when they're telling on themselves and they go, hey, Dad, would you pray for me? I got their heart. But when they're elusive or I'm fine, that's a signal to me is I got to go on operation, recapture my daughter's heart because she's given me the hand.
So, and what do you do? when they do that? Because every kid will do that at times. I mean, we do that to God sometimes. So what do you do as a father in a practical way when you kind of see, you know, your son or your daughter kind of putting their hand up and being a tad bit elusive?
Well, two things that I've learned by doing it wrong so many years.
Yeah.
Number one is that with my daughters, I go, can we have a date night? I really need feedback from you about how I'm being your dad right now. And I can feel that you've sort of pushed away from me. Because when they have I call them man friends. I don't want my daughters to ever have a boyfriend. Because a boyfriend is locked in 13 years old.
I've taken your phrase tomorrow.
You
to
know, and
girl.
It's like, my daughters only date men, okay? Yeah. No boyfriends, you know. And so they, matter of fact, they haven't their own orphan filter that if they're not a man, they won't even go out with them. Because I've been dating them. Well, that's another story. But I go out for their heart. And so I say things like, how am I doing as your dad? Talking about a scary question for me years ago. How am I doing? Because, see, if I don't have their heart, they can't listen to truth. And so I got to keep their hearts. And sometimes I lose it. Sometimes I blow it, and I know it. And they'll say, well, you really hurt me, Dad, when you did this. Instead of, well, I'm having a bad day, I'm working. That's the wrong answer. The answer is, will you forgive me? Would you teach me how to be a dad? And I remember something Gary Smalley said. He said, inside of every wife is a built-in marriage manual. Remember when we said that? I believe that inside of every kid is a built-in parenting manual. And if you have their heart, they'll let you turn the pages of their life and have input. But if your interaction to them is homework done, are you doing this, you're driving, and never say, how am I doing as your dad? Then they'll not let you be a lighthouse.
It gets back to this idea of performance. You wrote in your book a lot about performance, that a lot of times we assume that God is more interested in our performance because we had a coach or we had a dad or a mom, you know, that was that way. And somehow we've got to get across to our kids that we love them not for what they do but for who they are. At the same time, there are grades. There's clothes and things like that. So on the practical side, how do you manage making sure that your kids, they're living in your house, they're teens or preteens, we'll say, so they're moving a little bit into rebellion, meaning just they're trying to go through an experimental phase. How do you keep your, you know, your boundaries with them in terms of the practical things, curfew, their mouth, all this, and at the same time, show them the love of God?
Well, see, I wouldn't call it rebellion as much as I would call it. They're trying to find out who they are.
Yeah.
Part of what I talk about is the blessing of the father. That's a moment that every family needs to have. You know, and when you do that, something changes in that relationship. The other thing is that, you know, think about performance. Well, I was reading a scripture one day and it just occurred to me. Jesus had the most unsuccessful worldly view ministry of anyone who ever ministered. And yet he perfectly fulfilled the purpose of his father.
Interesting.
He built it up to 500. He preached one sermon on communion. They thought it was cannibalism. 500 left. 12 were left. His accountant wanted to try to force him to stand up and be the Messiah. Ends up hanging himself. He's left with 11. They all abandon him. And Peter and John was only there because Mary said, if you don't go with me, you know, you never loved Jesus. We don't know what Mary said. So he was the only one there at the cross, right? And in the midst of that, he pleased his father. And so in a world based on performance, it's more important of having their heart. And with grades and everything, see, when they understand who they are, that's my job, to help them discover from God how he's wired them. Then I build structure. And here's one of the things that really helped me. I remember when Edward was, you know, he really felt like God wanted him to play in the PGA golf and play on the tour. And that was part of his dream in early years. And I said, well, what do you want me from me as a dad? I never heard myself ever say that question. And it happened after me telling him the five things he had to do to become a pro athlete. And he was giving me that whatever face, right? And I said, well, what do you need from me as a dad? He goes, really? I get to talk? I went, okay. He says, number one, I want you to pray for me every day. I went, I can do that. Number two, I want you to check in with me even if I don't ask for help. That's good. What else? He goes, number three, I want you to buy me a car. so I can drive myself to the range. And yeah. I said, okay, if I buy you a car, we got to have a contract because I'm now hiring you as a professional athlete.
Right.
What are you going to do for that car? He said, well, Dad, I'm going to hit this many golf balls every single day, and you can check in with the range house. If I don't, I get no gas, and I don't have the privilege of the car. And number five, I'll never forget this one. He says, don't give me any advice unless I ask for it. Because it was right after a time after I blessed Edward when he, you know, after his 13th birthday and blessed him. And I was doing the typical coaching driving. And he looked at me, and I said, what's the matter? And he said, Dad, 2 weeks ago, did I become a man when you blessed me publicly and the grace of God fell out of heaven? He's 13 now.
Wow.
And fell on me. Did I become a man that day? And I said, yes, you did, son. Then you can never talk to me that way again. If I want advice, I'll ask for it. And he was trembling.
Wow.
And I was looking, Jim, right that moment at the grace of God. Yeah. And then it hit me, 1 Corinthians 13. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I think he was talking about his bar mitzvah. That manhood is the fruit, maturity is the fruit of the blessing of the Father.
Yeah, that's great.
Versus the opposite way, get mature and then we'll call you a man.
Yeah, that's really good. It goes back to a conversation we had much earlier about the name. We don't have much time left, but one of the biggest challenges a dad has is to break free from the chains of his past, as we've been talking about, that were often put there by his own dad. And you have a great illustration of a friend of yours who actually spent some time in prison, and so did his dad. And I'd love for you to tell us that story about James.
Yeah, James Ryle is one of my great, dear friends. He was the guy who preached at Promise Keepers, and 1.2 million men were there, and 300,000 stood up and gave their lives to Christ. Well, when he was growing up, his mother and father, his father went to prison. And long story short, James, his mother couldn't afford all the children. I think there were five of them. And so the two younger ones were put in an orphanage. And when he was in an orphanage, he was so scared, he promised God, I'll never leave. I'm never going to run away from you, God. I'm never leave. And then as he turned into a young teenager, he broke that promise and left that orphanage to try to find out who he was, and got arrested for vehicular manslaughter and could have been thrown away for many years. Ended up getting a couple of years and meets Christ in that prison. He then gets out of prison. He's got a young family now and just wants to go find his father, finds his dad. And one night he sat down with his dad, having not seen him in over 20 years. He said, Dad, what happened? He said, son, when I was your age, God called me into the ministry and I got scared and I ran. And James said, you were called into the ministry? Well, Dad, I'm in the ministry. And they were talking. He says, well, Dad, where were you in prison? And he told him, he says, son, where'd you go to prison? He said, well, I was in this prison in Texas. And he said, my God, son, I was the welder who welded those bars. And right in that moment, James heard from the Lord that our fathers weld the bars, weld the prisons that we live in. But the great story of the gospel is that in Christ, he not only saves us, Jim, but he also walked out of this thing that was called a tomb that we celebrate every Easter. That's the prison of our father. And I know a lot of believers today who feel like they got to redecorate that tomb. They put in worship music, a cross, incense, and they try to figure out their life by looking in their past. And Jesus walked out of that tomb. That's our Father's house. And when we walk out of our Father's house to the Father we've always wanted, he sets us free to be the beloved that he's made us to be.
And that's great news. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, thank you.
And that concludes our two-part conversation with Ed Tandy McGlasson here on the Homeward Broadcast. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns focusing both of these programs on finding the father you've always wanted. If you missed any part of either of these broadcasts, remember that we podcast the Monday through Friday edition of the broadcast, and you'll find these in that section there at our podcast division at iTunes. If you go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast button, hit the podcast tab, It'll take you right to that site on iTunes. You can start podcasting along with us the Monday through Friday edition of the program. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.